Welcome back, everybody, to Storm Champ. This is Kim, and I'm here today with Yereni, my sorority sister and friend out here living her best life. I'm so excited to talk with you tonight and get a little insight on the last several years of your life and some consciousness and some clarity that you've kind of realized and been able to sort of accomplish many great things for and with. So please, by all means, will you introduce yourself to everybody and let us know kind of what we're going to talk about today?
All right. So my name is Yereni Mendoza. It's Jereni in English. And I'm here to share my experience with depression, PTSD, and anxiety, and how I'm working through it, the ups, the downs. And I think really when it comes down to how I began this journey was like 4 years ago. I was assaulted by somebody and I reported the person and I felt like the person didn't get penalized the way that they should have. And that really affected me because, I mean, after you're assaulted and then you decide to report somebody, that leads to an investigation and it's like you reliving the same thing again. And then when the decision is made and it's not in your favor or to protect you, it feels even worse. So I felt like that's what left me feeling like a victim.
And never ending, right? Like you're supposed to be able to rely on a system for like a certain checks and balance, a certain justice to be served. And when that kind of goes sideways or not quite all the way or whatever that unresolved part is, it's really hard to just swallow that and accept it, right? Like I can imagine when you watch those TV shows and you see those movies, but when it's happening to you or somebody really close to you, it changes everything. So thank you so much for having, you know, the time and passion and compassion for yourself, the space to be able to talk about this for other people, because it's so many people are affected.
Exactly. I mean, there's just the number of women that don't report this or even men that don't report it. It's, you know, and they just have to live with it in silence. And it's just, I think it's time that we start talking about these issues.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really glad that you are continuing that conversation. So how have things changed since time has gone on a little bit after now? I mean, obviously you're still working through all sorts of stuff on systemic levels, but also individual levels, your personal life. How have you personally been changed and how did that kind of come about?
Like the negative aspect?
Well, at first maybe, but also then what sort of have you grown from in the process?
So after it happened, I think that for me, I didn't even realize I had PTSD. I thought I just had anxiety and I had imposter syndrome. So going to school was difficult, being in class, participating in class. And I started to experience like panic attacks and I couldn't, I would drive to school and I would start to freak out and I had to like drive back home because I wanted to feel safe.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was PTSD. Like I thought it was imposter syndrome, like the rest of my cohort that they would express, but this was different. And even when I was diagnosed with it, Kim, like I was like, like, you know, like I've been through some fucked up shit in my life. I'm fine. Like I can get through this like nothing.
Yeah. You're like, okay, post-trauma. Okay. It's done. I got it. Stress. Okay. I got it. You're still analyzing what the word is and like how to apply it. And I'm a high achiever like you, girl. Like I completely understand. Like when you have learned maybe something about it or you've seen it in other people, but it actually starts happening with you or to you, whatever that label is, like destigmatizing and creating some space for yourself to be able to understand and accept it is it's everything. And I feel like I watched your video and hopefully other folks will link it obviously with our stories tonight, but I watched your video and I mean, we're already sisters, but we're really sisters here in this struggle because I would imagine a lot of people see themselves in what you explained. So like you say, we're not alone. And what's interesting about that is it only takes a moment's connection with somebody right next to you, even if you see them on the daily in the office, even if you ride the bus with them all the time, like, you know how, you know, kindness goes a really long ways, but it's really hard to break through that mold and to be the person to trust that expression. So how do you feel these days connecting with other folks in their struggles? Sure. But also like in their moments of growth that you might recognize yourself in.
To me, that's what I crave the most, is that human connection. Like, I could give a shit about the small talk. Like, hey, how are you? Like, when I ask people, hey, how are you? I really expect an honest answer. Like, let me know if you're dealing through some shit. Like, I want that. I want you to trust me, and I want to trust you. And I want that real human connection where we could bond over something that we're both struggling over. And I think that when I put my story out there, more people reached out to me and like told me, hey, I'm going through this too. I don't have anybody to talk to. And I started to get a little bit scared because I was like, yo, I'm not like a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I'm not qualified. But through experience, like I got you, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, we are so connected. We could talk about social media and some of the impacts of that, but like we're so connected yet so distant from each other. So it's unfortunate. It usually takes a crisis or something adjacent to a crisis that brings us together with some clarity and focus. But I feel like normalizing parts of these conversations will bring us closer to the center. So today for me was a really great day. In the name of anxiety and stress relief and all sorts of things. Like it's about to be hot. We're hitting a heat wave here this summer. So I was like, today's the last day I could really be outside before my skin melts off my face and all of everything. It's just not a good idea. We're going to be in like the hundreds. I live in Chicago. What are we doing? You know? So for me, being outside and being in nature really grounds my whole anxiety of like, who am I among all these people, or who am I with no one around me? Like I've had both the worst of both worlds in terms of comparison. So for me, getting outside is like a daily function of, I guess, exercising my mental health and growing that. So is there something similar in your life that you lean on or you go to for those daily kind of
I lean on everything. I feel like I've been so desperate. Like once I realized I had PTSD and I accepted it, because for a while I was in denial. Once I accepted and I said, okay, I'm going to get some help. You know, I'm going to go into therapy. I'm going to get on medication. Well, medication, I had those negative side effects where I was like on Xanax, Zoloft, Prozac, on other ones. And Xanax really left me with short-term memory problems. I developed a speech impediment, so to this day, I still kind of slur my words sometimes, and just, like, I had a lot of cognitive deficits, and so I went to medication, I went to therapy, I'm doing therapy now, I'm tapping into more into my spirituality, my roots, and that has been very, very helpful. But the other thing was allowing myself to experience the feelings, to deeply experience the feelings that I was feeling. Because for a while I was like, nah, like I'm good. Yeah, that happened, but I'm good. Let's push that to the side. And yeah. I didn't realize how much damage I was doing to myself because I was crying. Yeah. And it's like.
But the thing is, okay, so. So I don't mean to interrupt, but I feel like we might understand each other here. So you go through several years or months of this whole thing, right? And you're like, okay, I need to feel it. And I am feeling it. And damn, today was another day where I was feeling it today, you know? And then it slowly like kind of dissipates, right? It slowly sort of, and we know this with depression, not so much with anxiety, because I feel like it's always fucking there, but depression anyways comes and goes. And so I wonder if it's me trying to be like in this survival mode thing where like, unless I'm struggling to some level, it doesn't feel like worthy enough. You know what I mean? So I always have something more I'm striving to get to or something more I'm focusing on that distracts me maybe from like the current pain and issues I need to actually fix. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm my own worst enemy in that regard.
Yeah. Are you saying so like you distract yourself to not actually deal with that?
Right. You just like some sort of excusable reason, like, oh, well, I can validate not doing something because I'm actually working on this. Well, that's great, Kim, but you still got to work on both of them, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I've been noticing lately. But I also recognized at a pretty young age that like I had to stay busy with everything, whether that was anxiety or wanting to not, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know the words exactly yet. Lord help me when I get everything in order. But yeah, not wanting to be at home, loving the idea of being involved with a community and something larger than myself, understanding like servant leadership, getting really fixated with like the mission, vision, and values of something. Like, yes. I know I am an educator. I know I am a gamma. I know I am, you know, a woman in leadership, whatever. Like, I get the foundation and my purpose, but like somewhere along the way, I have completely blurred and shadowed and dulled myself into something I don't even recognize, you know? And something I enjoy unfolding and unpacking now, but it, damn, patience and like grace and forgiveness and stuff, you know? So, I don't know. It's been a journey, but it's interesting. You realize that there's been all these other people around you going through shit too. So for you and for the moments that you were living through this particular trauma or several other traumas, because, you know, life isn't easy ever. How do you face realizing and then naming and then accepting whatever issue that you're coming across? How do you find that courage to like actually name it and then face it?
So my thing is, I'm a very prideful person in the sense, in that not like if I fuck up, I'll apologize. I can admit that I'm not that prideful, but I'm prideful in the sense like I don't like to admit somebody hurt me, or I don't like to admit that something affected me or can knock me down. So to be able to recognize that, you really got to do that inner work and call yourself on your shit. Really be like, okay, you know, humble yourself down and say, yes, this affected me. And yes, I feel weak by this. Or yes, I'm affected by that. And I think that once you can analyze it, once you can feel it, and once you can feel it through the emotions, then you can analyze it. That's what I like to do. I love to analyze my life. My life projection, just like, okay, there's a pattern here. There's a cycle. There's some, what can I learn from this? And once I reach that point where I'm observing what has happened, I feel like I remove myself from the situation emotionally slightly. Yeah. So that I can gather the lesson, so that I can understand what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I think through that, I mean, through life, I think that we're all gifted certain lessons. And once you can appreciate the lesson, you can receive the gift. And whether that gift is just for you or for other people, because you learn how to manage it, and then you open up about it, and you can teach other people how to deal with it as well.
So I feel like, yeah, life is not very, it's never really like time lost, because it's all like a social experiment, and it's all a case study for whatever is to come. Yeah. And the more that you connect with real people going through real things, the better that those lessons are worth, I guess.
Yeah.
That was really bad English, but that's what I mean. I stay by it.
And I mean, I think other people can put some input in and even tell you their perspective, right? And you can gain some insight from them examining what you went through. So
yeah. So when dealing with things that are stressful or things that like cause anxiety, like, you know, nobody likes to budget their household, or you know, the holidays are just very stressful. Like, some people, I think most everybody understands some of the concepts of the labels we are prescribed, or like that get sort of blurred in this social stigma of things. Is there anything that you can explain or help to explain for just the general consciousness what it's like to be living with some of these things and how you cope, I guess, for your your best success? Like, how do you live your best life and with these sort of issues? And
with the labels and the expectations that society kind of puts on you, it's hard. Yeah. It's fucking hard. You really, especially me, I'm getting my PhD in political science right now. I'm in my fourth year.
Woo!
I'm behind. I haven't met certain milestones. But what I've learned through examining my life is that I'm always behind and then I catch up. Like, it's just like a slingshot. It's like I'm always at a different pace, but then I go. But living with these expectations that society has, like, oh, you should have a house by 30. You should be married by 30. You should be doing this and this and that. I think what we really need to start asking ourselves is, like, am I happy with what I'm doing? I'm not even measuring success on material things or things that are quantified by like a degree or whatnot, or how many followers you have. But like, are you happy doing what you want to be doing? Like, are you feeling fulfilled?
And right? When you're not, what happens? Like, and when you're not, Or when you, what's the difference between not liking your job and like being completely desperately unfulfilled? Like, do you know what I mean? There's a difference between, oh, I don't want to be an intern anymore. Cool, I get it, honey bun. But then like also sticking with the process of becoming a full-fledged professional in your industry, that takes time. And maybe nobody explained that to you. And I understand that like in this instant gratification world, you feel like you've worked hard for this, but like, it's going to reap a certain reward and benefit towards the end of that longer journey. And I feel like mentorship for me has really gone a long way in helping to manage those sort of professional expectations. The other stuff that the social like reality of things sort of imposes on my normalness, like what I feel like I need to aspire to be at whatever age, or like how I need to be as a certain performance of my gender or whatever. Like I think about it really, really, really hypercritically, and I like a lot of it, but I also feel massive privilege in the ability to play with it. Whereas there are several, several normative like layers of myself that I fully recognize don't happen for other folks living in this world. And so I work hard in the spaces I stand in to kind of push those individual one-on-one social norm questions. I love culture jamming shit, and that makes me so happy to do. So like, you know, Pride Month in Chicago is pretty fantastic, but I recognize even where I'm from and where I grew up that that whole reality didn't exist anywhere but on movies, maybe. Maybe. It was like 1993, and I don't even know. So how do you cope with like what normal feels like? Or should feel like for you? How would you describe your normal, I guess, is the question.
I mean, my normal, I think that everybody has to really think about that and define their own normal. Like, I'm really good at challenging, like, normative behavior or conventional thinking. It's just in me. It's like if I see something that is disrespectful to like my soul, my spirit, or other people, and if it's oppressing other people, it comes at me and I'm like, no. But I think that you really have to define that for yourself. For me, what is normal is doing what feels good to me, what feels right to me, what feels just to me. And I mean, even with getting this PhD, like it's hard and I haven't been happy through this process, but I know that I came here to get this degree. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. And a part of me sometimes is like, fuck, like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. I want to be doing other things.
Yeah.
But I have to, I've just committed for so long. And I'm so just like, okay, I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to do it. And once I'm done, I'm going to go do what I want to do, what makes me really happy. And what I think is that this degree is actually going to open the doors for me to do what really makes me happy. So
also, I feel like when I got to a master's degree level, I'm just going to talk some nerdy shit here for a minute, because I feel like anybody who understands school or loves learning might get it. When I finally got to my master's degree, I'm like, this is the shit I've been waiting for since like seventh grade. Like, this is the stuff that like I get, I have to learn certain subjects, and I understand that I studied sociology, so it's a very broad subject in general. But then if we hone in on like college students and leadership and development theory and psychosocial, like I see the patterns and the layers and everything that I want to do. So I feel like if and when I get to that PhD point, I'm going to be on such a nerd high that I'm going to be able to like channel all of the things I've been managing for the last 20 years of my life, because I haven't fully seen like the picture in front of me. So I think once I realized and could explain that like childhood poverty and adverse effects in that regard have impacted me nutritionally, and that's why I have a love and passion for food. Educationally, that's why I've always been enrolled in high achieving academics. On a social, maybe spiritual level, if you want to count like 4-H and community service stuff, as well as all sorts of other humanitarian kind of issues. That's why I'm an eco-feminist scholar. Like, I feel as though it makes a lot of sense when I choose which labels to identify with, how the negative, I guess, or disadvantaged issues that I've been facing my entire life really start to pay off, I guess, in some sort of pay it forward for my own life. So can you, I don't know. Does that make sense? Can you validate me here? Because I feel like that sort of makes a little bit of sense. It's like nothing is really lost in life in terms of your experience. And you were talking earlier about like not maybe being an expert, but I think we all are experts on these issues.
Yeah.
And it's only when you like understand it and put it in the context of what it really could be, adverse childhood trauma due to poverty related, you know, context, whatever. Like, I'm like, yep, that was me. Like, how many times did I read an academic article on a super high level and be like, oh, God damn, I was probably one of the children in that study, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah. like that's like a serious thing. So I feel like higher education for me has always been like a gateway to sort of a mirror or a truth that I never really knew how to articulate, mm-hmm. which is interesting. I definitely relied on the educational system in that regard. So in your case, maybe relying on the justice system becomes a challenge. And here you are getting a PhD in political science. So, you know, I feel like everything is linked.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of other things with your newest but your newest channel on YouTube. It's One Life. Can you talk a little bit about how that project started? I mean, obviously, you bring a lot of personal experience to the cause, but sort of like Storm Champ, it's a passion project in the making. Yes,
exactly. Right. Like, just like all of you, you guys were on the same wavelength. You guys started communicating and then you guys organized and made it happen. Right. Yeah. With me, it actually started, I want to say sometime in October when my grandmother passed away.
Yeah.
And I started my spiritual awakening and I just kept hearing, okay, like, you need to share your story. I know you're going through some dark stuff. You need to share your story. You need to share your story and you need to share the stories of others. And
we got that same message. We totally did.
Yeah. It's like, it really is. I feel like because social media could be so, oh, look at me having fun. Look at me doing this X, Y, and Z. Spending money or living the rich life or whatever, living my best life. But we need to see more of the real life.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes on social media, what I was scared of when I wanted to start the channel was like, okay, like, I don't want people to think I'm seeking, I don't want to be pitied. You know, like, I'm not here for like, oh, like, she wants attention or she's, no, like, I want to connect with the people that are going through this shit so that we could talk, so that we could figure out, hey, man, like, what do you do? What do I do? What helps? What doesn't? And create that dialogue in order to improve all of our lives, the collective. That was the goal. And so once I lost fear and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it. My grandma keeps telling me to do it. I'm going to do it. And I was just like, all right, fuck. Like, you know.
It's time.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like we're going to have to do a separate, like, you know, episode on grandmothers and how fan-fucking-tastic they are in our worlds, because I feel like this is a theme me, you, and Angie got. I'm sure others have as well. So, yes. What was your grandmother's name?
Estella.
Oh, yes, fantastic. My grandmother's name was Rosella. And I don't even know Angie's grandma's name. We're going to get that. We're going to definitely honor those ladies because clearly they've had huge impact on our lives. So, that's so amazing. Can you think of other folks? I talked a little bit about mentorship and that connection and relating with other people. Can you think of other folks in your life that have kind of provided that foundational support for you, whether it's in a personal way or a professional way, a spiritual way? You know, in some way that has impacted you greatly. Is there anyone that you can think of and maybe suggest for others to reach out to and connect with better?
So, like, on any level? Because, man. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, gosh, I don't know where to start. I think that people, like, when I think about the people that have changed my life and really mentored me, my high school teacher, Brian Seitz, he encouraged me to take the SATs. And apply to Eastern Washington University. And like, I mean, like, I had behavioral issues because of the trauma I experienced as a child. And so I ran away a lot. I got in trouble a lot, but I was never disrespectful to my teachers or like anybody. But I did get in trouble. And I mean, I grew up on the east side of Pasco. Like, I didn't know anybody with my track record that actually made it to college. Like, I barely knew people that graduated high school. So for me, when he started telling me, like, you should apply, you should take the SATs, you should apply to Eastern, I kind of like, I got pissed at him because I was like, yo, why are you trying to sell me this dream? Like, why are you trying to tell me I can have this future? And he just kept pressing on and pressing on. And I broke down. I was like, man, like, why are you trying to sell me this dream? He's like, just do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I got on this fuck it mindset. I fucking went crazy. I applied to scholarship after scholarship. I applied only to Eastern because I was like, you know what? If I don't make it, I don't make it. Whatever. I was fine with getting a high school degree. Well, I got 7 scholarships. I got into Eastern Washington University. And I was like, really? Like, how did that happen? And the same
thing. Your life, baby girl. Hold on.
Life changed. Like, yeah. I mean, for the longest time, I grew up with this mentality that I was going to stay in the hood, that I was never going to leave Pasco, Washington. And in fact, family members would say that about me, like, oh, you're gonna end up 16 pregnant to a drug dealer, to a gangster. And so like the way I viewed myself really affected the choices that I made or the life that I thought I could have. And so it took Brian Seitz to really sit me down and be like, yo, you got to go for this. And the same thing happened with my undergrad. My mentor, Martin Meraz Garcia, he gave me some tough love too. And he was like, girl, like, you see these people graduating? Like, aren't you tired of seeing, because I worked for the Ronald E. McNair program. And I kept helping in the process of students transitioning from their undergraduate to graduate school. And he was like, you know, like, aren't you tired of seeing these other students go on? Yeah. He was like, he's like, wake the fuck up. Like, you know, and I was like, shit. Okay. I was actually in my 4th year at Eastern and I hadn't finished any of my Geckers. I hadn't chosen it. I hadn't stuck to a degree. I went from pre-med to electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, back to pre-med. And I was in my 4th year and I was like, fuck. I was going through a lot of personal stuff, family drama as well. And I looked at my transcript. I was like, fuck, like, what am I good at? What have I gotten a good grade in? And I looked at my grades and I saw government and philosophy. And the pride in me was like, all right, bitch, if you're going to graduate in 6 years, if it's going to take you 6 years, you better get 2 degrees. So that's what I did. I figured out how to cross list them and get those degrees. And I did that in 2 years. I was educating. I think I educated like 2 lines. And I was still an active member in Sigma Lambda Gamma. I was working 2 jobs, teaching like 20 credits a quarter. And it was just insane, but I achieved it. And all of a sudden, I got admitted to UT for a PhD program, fully funded. And I was like, fuck, like, what? How did this happen? But it takes these characters in your life, these mentors that step in and let you kind of reveal to you like, hey, you can have a better life. Like, you know, you can go do what you want to do, right? And yeah, it's like that limiting belief that we have of ourselves that really robs us of the potential that we actually can give to the world. And so yeah, I'm very thankful for those two. And of course, the McNair program director, Cristina Garcia as well. She has really helped me out a lot. Just through everything, really.
Yeah. I really hope that those folks in people's lives really know how much of an impact they make for us. And I hope that more of us tell them thank you more often. Like, it really is life-saving in so many ways, right?
Life-changing. And I think that we can all do this, even our among our friends, right? Just letting them know, like, hey, dude, I know you wanted to be like, I know you wanted to start that YouTube channel. I know that you wanted to start that business. Do it. Go for it. Because more often than not, people are playing with us like, oh, yeah, like, whatever. You're never going to do it, or, you know. And so it just takes, like, that one little voice, one person to say, hey, go for it.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. I'm on the mindset. I really am. I really am. And I think that this is why I have gotten so far when I get the chance, when I'm able to believe in myself and I'm like, fuck it, let me just go for it. Yeah. Because that was actually the story as well when I was applying for fellowships my 2nd year in my degree and my PhD program. I applied to 5. I got rejected by 4. But the last one I got accepted to, and it was the National Science Foundation Graduate Fellowship Program. That blew my fucking mind because I was like, how did I get that, right? But it's like, you really gotta believe in yourself and just put yourself out there, risk it. You know, what's the worst that they could say? No.
Okay, right. And you're back in the same spot you've always been, right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Fuck it.
Yeah. You got nothing to lose. Like,
honestly. Well, that's great. I really hope that other folks kind of get on with the same message here. I feel inspired about 10,000 more than I started with. I think I might start something new tomorrow. Shit. But for real.
Really shit. Yeah. Like, some real shit. Like, just be like, yeah, you know, I've been wanting to do that. I'm going to just do it.
You know how many ideas I have? Shit. thanks so much for joining us tonight, though. I really appreciate it. We'll be sure to link everything on your social media to ours so that folks who are watching us here at Storm Champ can follow you all, too, at One World, or excuse me, One Life. Mm-hmm. And also, we'll stay in touch, obviously. This is the first time meeting you, sister. I love it. I really appreciate your courage and your honesty and sharing your story. And I do think that others are going to be really, really positively impacted by your bravery and your honesty and everything. So thanks.
Thank you for having me on here. And I think this is amazing work that you guys are doing, really. And there needs to be more of this, quite frankly. And I'm excited. I'm excited for y'all's channel and everything.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. And stay tuned on all of our channels and subscriptions for more information. We'll see you next time.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye.